Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Your Ben Jarofsky Show for this Tuesday, April 23rd starts now. On the show today, he's been gone a while, but we're happy he's back. Mr. Chicago Government, Dave Gloax. The Ben Jarofsky Show, a presentation of the Chicago Reader. ChicagoReader.com for everything there is to know in the city of Chicago. You want to know what to do, where to go, what to eat, what to drink. You want to know what the best things to do in Chicago. You want to stay updated on art, politics, music. ChicagoReader.com has it all. And if you want more Ben Jarofsky, they've got all of him too. All the extras, bonus interviews, all more than you can shake a stick at. That's at ChicagoReader.com/Jarofsky. That's J-O-R-A, V as in victory, S-K-Y.
Hello again, everybody. Ben Jarofsky here. We're calling this He's Back Tuesday, and here's why. Yes, the he in that sentence is Dave Gloax, ace reporter, the proprietor of Inside Chicago Government. Dave used to come on the show about once every 6 weeks or so with city council clips, and we would analyze them, review them, and talk about them and joke about them. And it was so much fun. It was one of our most popular segments. And then Dave Gloax said, Ben, I'm exhausted. I need time off. So we traveled around the world on a bicycle, and he's returned home. I made that whole last part up, but he took a little time off and he's back. So welcome back, Cotter.
It's so great to be here. Thanks for having me again.
Yes.
To you and to Chris.
Say that again.
I said it's, I thank you and Chris for having me.
No, producer Chris doing an outstanding job. He's got all the clips. Now, this particular show that we're going to do today, I urged Dave to do this, and he said, okay. This is one, I don't know if I want to say it's my favorite city council meeting of 2024, but in many ways it was, I don't know, the most illuminating or revealing city council meeting of 2024, because it exposed all the different ideologies at play in the city of Chicago in this very tumultuous times. And so without further ado, I'm going to turn things over to Dave and let him give an introduction, and away we go.
Ben, how many meetings has the city council had this month so far, do you think?
How many meetings did you say?
Yeah, full city council.
Okay, so this is what they call a trick question.
I guess, think it's a trick question.
So you said in this year. So
we are now.
Oh, in the month of April alone,
yeah.
I would say full city council, I would guess there have been 7.
You're high. I bet you've been told that before.
More ways than most. 3.
Correct.
Thank you.
So they were going to examine the first of those, but before that, a little background. On March 22, the council's finance committee held a hearing. Mayor Brandon Johnson administration's proposal for a bonding scheme linked to tax increment financing. But we're not going to talk about tax increment financing, at least not on purpose. After that meeting, activists, including members of a group named Behind Enemy Lines, held a demonstration outside of City Hall. At that demonstration, speakers called for a ceasefire in Gaza and urged Chicago to rescind its hosting of the August Democratic National Convention. Also at the demonstration, a Marine Corps veteran burned a U.S. flag. Shortly after that, 25th Ward Alderman Byron Sixto-Lopez, who also chairs the council's housing committee, emerged from City Hall and spoke in solidarity with the demonstrators. Then what happened after that?
all hell broke loose, metaphorically speaking, as word emerged that Byron Sixto-Lopez, alderman of the 25th Ward, had spoken at that rally after the flag had been burned. And there was criticism hurled at him from various members of the city council who said he had insulted the flag, insulted the country, insulted the veterans, and he should apologize. And when Byron Sixto-Lopez did not apologize, they're saying, but first of all, he didn't burn the flag. He wasn't there when the flag was burned. You can all hear this, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Byron Sixto-Lopez talked about this on the show. There was a movement to strip him of his chairmanship of the city council's housing committee. So that, yeah, in a nutshell, is what happened in the aftermath.
And immediately that manifested on X, formerly known as Twitter, where a bunch of city council members said some pretty, shall we say, charged things about Alderman Sixto-Lopez. And then on March 27, 11 aldermen held a press conference calling Sixto-Lopez's appearance at the demonstration reprehensible and a failure of leadership. And there were, as I say, 11 aldermen there. Then on March 28, 8 of those aldermen sponsored a resolution called R2024-0008525 that would change the city council's rules of order, removing Sixto-Lopez as the housing committee chair, and it called for a special city council meeting on April 1st to consider the resolution. Somewhere in there, somewhere before that meeting, the mayor, Brandon Johnson, convened a chat with Sixto-Lopez and some of his, I guess we'll call them detractors, and those include Alderman Chris Taliaferro, Alderman Bill Conway, Gilbert Villegas. Chris, we're going to do order first. So what happened after that is the April 1 meeting of the full city council that these folks called. And we'll now hear audio from that. It was attended by 47 aldermen and many spectators. The meeting began with the legally required public comment period, which can last a maximum of 30 minutes. And only those who sign up in advance may comment. After the very raucous public comment period, Mayor Brandon Johnson, who chaired the city council meeting, attempted to move on to the business at hand. Let's listen.
You did not sign up in time to speak. I'm sorry to hear that. Sergeant at Arms, please restore order. Okay, those of you who are here to participate in democracy, I'm in the gallery. I will respectfully ask you all to show some decorum. If I have to stop again, I'm going to have to clear the chambers, okay? All right, as set forth in the letter calling for the special meeting, Sergeant at Arms, please remove these individuals. Sergeant at Arms, please remove these individuals. Excuse me, sir. If you continue to speak, I'm going to ask you to be removed as well. Could you please remove this gentleman listen, you're forgiven, but please remove him. Thank you. I hope that more people are willing to forgive. Please, sir, please. This is out of order. You either sit down or be removed. Which, okay, sit down or be removed. Alderman Lopez, just wait a second, okay? Just wait a second. Thank you. I see your hand. Just wait a second. We're trying to restore some order here. For those of you who wish to continue to participate in democracy, I would ask that you do it respectfully. If you cannot, I will ask you to be removed.
He's getting pretty good at that, I think. So that sort of sets the scene, and we can move on to hearing from the aldermen. But before that, Ben, do you have anything to say?
Yeah, I love the distinction between orderly participation and disorderly participation in democracy. There are those who would argue that any kind of democracy, compels the mayor to allow people to yell and scream. I've had people say that to me, Dave, that they're upset whenever the mayor clears the halls. But I'm with the mayor in this one. You know,
you're on the side of order.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could go back in time and ask citizen Brandon Johnson or Cook County Commissioner Brandon Johnson what his views on this stuff would be. in the abstract, you know, to see if it would differ from what his views as the mayor are. But listen, you got to get onto the public's business sooner or later, and having people standing up and screaming and yelling just deters us from it. So yes, he does it in a very a civil and polite way, and I love that line about "I forgive you." I don't know who he was forgiving in that particular line.
I think one of the spectators said, "Please forgive me." He said, "You're forgiven, but you're out of here anyway."
Yeah. Brandon Johnson has a sense of humor, and he says, "I hope you forgive, other people forgive as well," and we'll get to that. So, yeah. Yes, I'm with Brandon Johnson in this one. You got to have some order.
Well, let's move on to the people's business then. Chris will do, please, Byron first. So then what happened next is the alderman got to weigh in on this resolution that we mentioned, and the first to weigh in was the target of this resolution, 25th Ward, Alderman Byron Sigcho Lopez. And in this clip after him, we'll hear from 29th Ward, Chris Taliaferro. Let's listen.
Unfortunately, there are those agendas that want to keep us divided, that yesterday blamed the sanctuary city status for the conditions in our city, but forgot to mention the reason why we became a target of fascist Governor Abbott. It was the DNC. And common sense will say that the least that the party can do is to stop funding wars, to stop funding the inhumanity that this is, including for the veterans that have served with dignity and respect, protecting the First Amendment right. At least there's two colleagues of mine that need to have that conversation with me still. And I want to refer to Alderman Conway and Alderman Gil Villegas. Proactively reach out to so that we discuss this as adults that we are. I'm yet to listen, as I have apologized even for the way that may have presented all my actions. I make no apologies for standing for First Amendment rights. I think some of my colleagues need to have maybe a lesson of what First Amendment rights mean. But I'll tell you that in this body, I made my commitment, just as Alderman Taliaferro, to look for a different direction. But now what you see today exposed are the forms and the tactics of division and irresponsibility. And furthermore, I do think that you have always had my phone at your disposal when you want to talk about any veteran issue. Alderman Villegas knows that. Alderman Conway knows that.
Chair recognizes Alderman Taliaferro.
This issue never came up with regard to anyone violating First Amendment rights. In fact, we all support First Amendment rights. We support your right, or the right of the veteran, to burn a flag. I think the issue that arose for me and for others and many of my colleagues was who you did it with. I stood very firm with you denouncing the actions of those police department members who associated with the Proud Boys. And along with you, I called for discipline, that they should be disciplined because of their actions. Now, is it their First Amendment right to do so? It absolutely is. And so it was never about that. It was never about your right to stand up for veterans.
Please direct your comments towards me, Alderman.
What it is about, Mr. President, is a call and a higher standard that we call ourselves to stand with organizations that are neither far right nor far left. An organization that our colleagues stood for overthrowing what they call the U.S. empire, that they should stand and they just should build into a powerful militant organization to overcome and rise against the U.S. empire, that the U.S. empire was the enemy, and that the U.S. empire was the belly of the beast. That, Mr. President, is what I found reprehensible. Because if we're going to fight on one end to stand against other department members that have chosen to associate and affiliate themselves with a right-wing organization, we can certainly stand against one of our own colleagues to stand with an organization that's far left. So it is not about removing anyone's or infringing upon anyone's First Amendment right. But every now and then, we have to call ourselves to a higher standard to say whether or not we should associate with certain groups in order to exercise our rights, or when we exercise our rights. But I also want to make it very clear, and not just to my colleague, but to all of us, that we have to be careful at times when we exercise our rights. Certainly all of us would like to exercise our right to live where we'd like to, but it's because of that right that we can do so. But we understand that in taking this responsibility, in city employees who take that responsibility of city employment, that we give up that right. And then I could go on and talk about the rights of our former superintendent that certainly has a right to associate and have friendship with anyone he chooses. It's his privilege. But in taking on a responsibility as a superintendent of police, he gave up that right to associate with known felons. And I've had to do the same.
Makes you wonder what felons Antonio Farrow has been associated with it. And he had a little riddle in there. I don't know if you noticed. He made a reference to a police superintendent who had to resign because of such behavior. And you'd like to guess who that is?
I think it is Matt Rodriguez.
I think it is too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Give this young man credit, okay? Before the show.
And then that was, and who was appointed under Mayor
Richard M. Daley.
Yeah. And he had quite a few police superintendents because he was around for quite a while. So,
yeah. I remember that controversy. Rodriguez had associates with shady backgrounds. I can't remember the specifics of it, but I do remember.
Organized crime, I think it was.
Okay. It was organized crime. It was an embarrassment. Mm-hmm. And that is, man, this, I'm telling you, this is civics class material, Dave. Because we're going to hear this line of argument, I think, from other aldermen as this debate unfolds. And that is the notion that, yes, you as a public official have a First Amendment right to speak out on what you want to speak out on, to gather with who you want to gather with. So you have that freedom to do that, but there's a consequence for that freedom, and that the city of Chicago should not tolerate public officials, this is the argument, gathering with disreputable organizations or people. And so you should pay a consequence for that. And I think folks on both sides of the ideological spectrum would agree to a certain point. There are so few First Amendment just complete zealots out there. You know what I'm saying, Dave? Who absolutely believe fundamentally that you have a First Amendment protected right to do anything you want without consequences. Very few people who actually believe that. They just want to call out the other side. So what Talia Faro was doing was sort of turning things around to say, we stood with you when you denounced police officers who were with Proud Boys. So now you should stand with us when we denounce this organization that is exceedingly critical of the U.S. empire. Now, I feel that's a false equivalency, personally. And I feel the notion of linking a leftist group that is denouncing U.S. intervention in various foreign wars or various foreign countries with a racist group is a false equivalency. Now, that's my perspective as a lefty. I guess I could think of some extreme left-wing organizations and entities that would be problematic, but I don't believe merely criticizing criticizing the United States as calling it an empire and pointing out how it's intervened all over the world at great expense of life of not only U.S. soldiers, but the people who live in the lands they've intervened is the same as the Proud Boys. That's how I view it. Do you have any thoughts on this, Dave?
I think that we're going to hear from some aldermen who expand on this notion that you're talking about, like what constitutes, you know, something, an association with someone who is a troubling associate, like Talia Faro points out, like, you know, with known felons, if you're a police officer. By the way, Talia Faro was a police officer, so perhaps that's why he invoked that. So, yeah, in a little while, we're going to hear an alderman or two talk about why this association is problematic. But first I'll say that as far as Taliaferro goes, he was one of the original sponsors of the this resolution to oust Lopez, Sixto Lopez, and there were 15 of them. And all of the other 15 voted no, but voted yes on this resolution, but Taliaferro is the only one who switched his vote to no. So with that, we'll go to the next.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead, Dave.
Chris, please, we'll do Scott next. is there something else you wanted to say before we move on?
No, I also think it's a bit of a false equivalency to equate a left-wing group that is calling for an end to U.S. intervention in foreign countries with police officials who hang around with organized crime figures. I think that's a false equivalent. That's definitely a false equivalency, in my humble opinion. But go ahead.
As I say, some other ones are going to take aldermen are going to take that characterization of these left wingers a little further.
Okay.
So now we're going to hear from two more aldermen. First, we'll hear from 24th Ward Alderman Monique Scott, followed by 17th Ward. I read that right. 17th Ward Alderman David Moore. Let's listen.
It wasn't easy to put my name down on that list, but one thing that always stands out to me is integrity, right? I want to read a few words: honesty, morality, incorruptibility, honor, character, truth, decency, uprightness, and wholeness. Those are things that we're all supposed to hold ourselves to be being an elected official. I am not here to play God. I like you. And I know I'm supposed to direct to you, but I like you.
Tell me you like
me. I like Byron. But I do think that when you do hold an elected position, you have a certain accountability, right? And it's important for us to all make sure we don't align ourselves with people that may not be those words that I read off. Uprightness, having integrity. For me, it wasn't about the burning of the flag. The group that was here just made themselves a mockery being right here in the gallery. I can't tell you who to align yourself with, but I do expect for you to hold yourself with an integrity. You made a comment about let's start doing the business of the city of Chicago. When we align ourselves that with, and there's no disrespect to Israel, Palestine, but there's nothing that I can do sitting on the city limits of Chicago in the 24th Ward that I can do anything for those groups. I can only align myself.
The Alderwoman, there will be there order will be here.
Girl shot in the city of Chicago.
Alderwoman, Alderwoman, just a second. Thank you for restoring order, Sergeant at Arms.
And so there's no...
Alderwoman, just a second, okay? All right, please continue, Alderwoman, to direct your word.
So there's no disrespect. I respect all lives. We all make this world great. Black, white, brown, Jew, Jewish, what other religions? Buddhism. But right now, we don't respect human lives. We have young African-American men, brown boys, killing each other in the street. There's no outcry for that, ever. Over 32 people were shot this weekend. There's never an outcry. Never. 15 people were shot in my ward, and I'm going to repeat that until everybody knows. 15 people were shot in October. I got five probably aldermen to stand up with me that day. This violence happens every day in our communities. Where is the outcry? We're sitting here taking up time. I could have had ward night, but instead I'm here dealing with issues that I want us all to do better. All do better. So when we deal with city issues, deal with the housing, deal with the 3,000 vacant lots that I have in my community, and I'm looking for developers. Deal with the fact that we don't even have a grocery store. Deal with the fact that I have homeless people living on the streets or streets that I can't fix because I get $1.5 million just to spend a year and my whole entire neighborhood has 49 miles of alley. Let's deal with that.
Thank you. Just for a second, Alder. Sergeant at Arms, please restore order. I'm going to ask those individuals to be removed, please, for disruption. Please. Thank you.
So again, I'm not here to play God. I'm not here to play with your life. I'm not here to play with your committee. But we got to make the right decisions that's going to affect all of us. And we got to do it in a decent and orderly way. So if we continue to do things the wrong way all the time and you just get a slap on the hand, then you're going to do it again.
Just for some clarification, this resolution that is being considered is for the removal of Alderman Sigcho Lopez as the chairperson on the Committee on Housing and Real Estate. And there are individuals who are speaking to this. Once this conversation is over, there will be a moment where a motion for this resolution can be made. That is the order in which I'm operating. So with that, Chair recognizes Alderman David Moore.
First of all, I'm not even clear what the purpose is of removing him. Not saying that it's not valid, but it's not spelled out here. I've heard many different things. I've heard we're removing him because he burned a flag. Today is my first day I'm hearing that we're removing him because he was connected to an organization. I heard we're removing him because he didn't apologize and he doubled down. And then I heard we're removing him because he's a Democrat and he spoke out against Biden. What's the reason? I'm not clear. So how can we remove a person when we're not clear on why we're removing them? That's number one. Number two, just so happened it was budget hearings that day and it was late. The officer said, you all need to go out another door. There's a protest going on, Mr. President. What are they protesting the budget for? What's going on? Nobody knew why. I walked downstairs standing 2 feet away from Byron Sigcho Lopez. I hear him talking about a ceasefire, something we've stood for, as well as Hamas releasing the hostages. But he was talking about the ceasefire piece. I've supported a ceasefire. I almost went there to stand with him. I had somewhere to be. Would I have been caught up in this when I didn't see no flag, when I didn't smell no fire? And like we all do when we support someone, we just go stand at the camera and say, I support. I have no doubt that that's what Alderman Byron Sigcho Lopez did after being here in this budget hearing and running late for a press conference. So if any one of us would have stood there smelling no fire, seeing no smoke, I'm 2 feet away, seeing nothing but a camera, will we all be then saying, hey, you support XYZ when he's thinking he's standing there supporting just a ceasefire?
Going back to Alderman Scott, she was talking about, it sounds like she was about to object, or she was objecting to having to sort of waste her time and other aldermen wasting their time at this meeting when she has plenty of other priorities in her ward and there are plenty of important issues to attend to. But at the very end, she throws in this comment that if you just get a slap on the hand, you're going to do it again. So kind of showing where she ended up, where she, in fact, did end up voting in favor of this resolution.
Yeah, I found that clip. Oh, my goodness. So much to respond to in this one. I was actually moved by Monique Scott's comments. And so just for some background, people know Monique Scott is the alderwoman of the 24th Ward on the west side of Chicago. She is the sister of the former alderman, Michael Scott, and the daughter of a legendary political operative in the city of Chicago, Michael Scott, who committed suicide, I forget how many years ago, a daily political ally and a political operator in this city, a man I knew going back. He's one of the first politicals I met.
While he was on the Board of Education, right?
What did you just say, Dave?
He committed suicide during his tenure as head of the Board of Education. Is that correct?
I can't remember if he was the head of the Board of Education when he committed suicide. I actually cannot remember. He was at times, at one point, the head of the Board of Education. He was also on the CHA. The Park District. No, not the CHA, the Park District. So he was a very influential advisor to Mayor Daley and a developer, very well-known figure on the west side of Chicago. Fascinating guy in many ways, a delight to talk to. He usually went off the record. Now I'm on a tangent about Michael Scott, but he generally would go off the record and offer all kinds of insights. He was particularly good at seeing the difference between what people say and what people do. And some would say, well, that's cynicism, Ben. So yes, but then I would say people who say one thing and do other thing are themselves cynical. So cynical is in the eye of the beholder. Anyway, fascinating guy. And Monique Scott, in many ways, you could see the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. What I found really moving about what she said is the riff she went on about the ongoing slaughter here in the city of Chicago, which is overwhelming. If I think about it too much, Dave, I can't even get out of bed. You know, it's just right now, the front page news about Officer Hueso, who was shot as he was driving home from work. But it's not clear why he was shot. Was it a carjacking? That's the part that's unclear. This is a police officer in uniform. I mean, it's just this ongoing slaughter and carnage in the city of Chicago. And as a city, we have just seemed incapable of dealing with it. And so it doesn't fit into any convenient political narrative. So it's not like championed by any. My beloved left doesn't talk at great length about the ongoing slaughter in the city of Chicago, perhaps because they haven't figured out to make it a way to make it fit into this larger political narrative. So they kind of just ignore it. It just happens every week, every day. There's a story in the newspaper about a murder, a shooting in Chicago. And then you have the only people who seem to talk about it are the right wing here in the city of Chicago. And essentially all they talk about is locking more people up, which has never worked. So the only solutions, and I have that in quotes, are advocated by people who have never had any success with their solutions, with these supposed solutions. So I'm very sympathetic to her. I struggle with this all the time. We have these serious conversations on the show, what can be done. And I don't have any answers, ultimately, than anyone else. But it is frustrating, to put it mildly, to watch, I don't know, my beloved left ignore this. I feel like the left has ignored what's happening in the city of Chicago. So I found it very moving when she went on that riff.
So she is obviously also expressing her frustration and saying that not only is this problem ignored by many, but the people who have agency, and at least on some level, namely members of the city council, are arguably wasting their time with this particular issue. So imagine if she's making that argument quite in a quite lengthy way, as if she was about to vote against this resolution, but in fact she supported it. So imagine if she was like she was making this argument to say this is a waste of time, folks. But that's not where she ended up.
No.
That's what's interesting to me.
And I don't even buy that waste of time argument. I've mocked the waste of time argument many times on this show. The city council, I believe this is a legitimate topic of debate in the city council. Absolutely.
Some of your beloved lefties are going to disagree with you coming up.
Well, you know, that wouldn't be the first time. I believed the ceasefire resolution that Rosanna Rodriguez advanced was a worthy topic. I believe that the first discussion they had, where there was the resolution, Deborah Silverstein's resolution to support Israel, was a worthy topic. I mean, Chicago does exist in the universe, so the aldermen in the city should deal with these issues to some degree or another. What I'm saying is, in this particular case, if there's a group of aldermen who are going to come after Byron Sixto Lopez because he was at that rally, then let's talk about it. Let's get it out in the open. I mean, if these are the forces that are playing our city of Chicago, we should know about them. So to stifle them, they're not going to be stifled. All right, well, let's hear what you have to say. Let's analyze what you have. This is what we're doing right now. So I never felt this was a waste of time. I always think that the waste of time argument is generally advanced by people who want to avoid a certain issue.
Well, we're going to hear from some who make the argument. And before we do, though, I want to observe a sort of a technical point. In that clip we just heard, the mayor explained that he allowed the alderman to speak or, quote, debate, unquote, before the motion was actually made to vote on the resolution. And usually in city council, it's reverse. Like a proposed ordinance or resolution will come out of a committee passage or committee approval, and it'll be presented. Then there will be discussion, and then it'll move to a vote. And he acknowledged that he inverted that. And it was an interesting tactic. And I wondered whether he did that to make sure that no one could, say, defer consideration of the motion, because it actually hadn't been made yet. So I thought that was either very clever.
He's learning the parliamentary game.
Yeah. Chris, please, will do Lopez next. We have two more aldermen now. This one starts with 15th Ward Alderman Raymond Lopez, and he is followed by 49th Ward Alderman Maria Haddon. Let's listen.
When you are in leadership in this body for this mayor, you are expected to have both good character and solid judgment. But when our colleagues sought, as one speaker said today, to sensationalize and build and point fingers and self-victimize himself for his own political aggrandizement, that was a failure of judgment and character. And make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen of this body, that is exactly what happened. Because there was no immediate apology saying, holy crap, I'm sorry, or I didn't see what is clearly 2 feet away from him. None of that transpired. Actually, what did transpire were emails, accusations, and questionable threats made to us, his colleagues, that we were doing this because we are racist, we're fascist, we're xenophobic, or we're trying to appease our donors, as he told one news outlet. Not that it was because of his actions, which he has never once taken responsibility. If we are going to hold our own employees to a standard that we tell them that they have to use better judgment because they are in positions of power, then God damn it, that applies to us too. You cannot live by a double standard. You cannot claim that this is a conspiracy simply because you're a democratic socialist. That is bullcrap, and you know it. Because what is at stake, Mr. President, is the integrity of your agenda when your leaders' motives are questioned, when they sit in the positions of authority given, as we heard from the veteran who was thrown out just a short while ago, that how can you trust someone to make decisions for you when he is stomping on everything you believe in? And that is before we get to what his newfound friends espouse. To go greater than 1968. What happened in 1968, Mr. President? A convention that went off the rails and decimated the West Side, the likes it has never, ever recovered from. That is what we're espousing. That is what we're promoting. That's what we're proud of, to have an alderman of the city of Chicago say, let's do worse than 1968. Have you lost your mind? Nobody, nobody has the right to want to do more damage and carnage to the Black community while pretending that they care about Black Chicagoans.
Chair recognizes Alderwoman Haddon.
Look at the number of times that you had to clear the room today. I had someone tell me today that they grew up in Chicago and, you know, watched the council wars on TV as a child. And I'm sure that's the experience of actually many people here in this room, and how what they're seeing in council now just pales in comparison. People have accused Alderman Sigcho Lopez of aggrandizing this or using this for kind of political things. And I've heard similar claims made to people calling the special meeting. And I think people's intentions are true. I'd like to believe that, that people really wanted to have a conversation, that people really had concerns. And also, we did not need a special city council meeting to have that conversation. I think we all have each other's phone numbers. This has become way too complicated. And Mr. President, maybe I'll introduce a resolution in council in April to suspend everybody's Twitter account. Like, please, can you guys just get off Twitter or X? Can people please think before they tweet, speak? Can you think about your own actions? Can you think before you file a resolution for a special meeting? Can you think before you call a press conference? Can you think before you call someone anti-American? or Marxist or socialist or whatever the latest like bad word. What do we have? DEI was the thing. Fascist. Thank you. Can we think before we call names? Can we turn that little key right next to our mouths and maybe have private conversations more than we have public ones when it comes to our own behavior and accountability? There are things that colleagues in this body have done since I've been in office that I have found as deeply offensive. There are groups that colleagues have associated themselves with, comments they've made on social media that I have found as deeply offensive as I think some people have found the actions and the words of the group where Alderman Sixto Lopez spoke. But I didn't feel like I had the need nor the right to call them out and say they shouldn't be in a leadership position.
Kind of like Alderman Haddon as a stern grandmother, turn that little key next to our mouth.
I'm really enjoying. I'll repeat. I'm really enjoying these clips. Thank you, Dave, for gathering them. And I hear bits and pieces of things that I strongly agree with. And so I'll start with what I agree with, and I'll turn to Raylo.
Who made an interesting rhetorical leap.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to do a little historical correction for all you youngsters, including you, Raylo. You're a young guy.
The Democratic National Convention of 68 decimated the West Side.
All right, we'll get to that. But I there's so much of what Maria Haddon said that I appreciated, just the notion of holding back and just not going on Twitter. You know, Pat Whalen still defends Twitter. Who else? Like my friend Joshua still does. I still have people that defend Twitter to me, you know, like, Ben, I get my news from guys. Admit it. It's a cesspool. Okay. You can get your news from other outlets. You don't have to get it from Twitter. There's like a zillion other ways. I like it, Ben. I'm going to stay on it. All right.
Spoken by someone who doesn't really know Twitter.
No, are you kidding? Pat Whalen.
No, I'm talking about you.
From people. Yes. No, I don't know how to like post things on it. I always thought it was idiotic and nothing has really changed in that front. But the point, I agree with her. Just hold back a little. But she's speaking as a reasoned person. I've always liked Maria Haddon. I feel she's a very reasoned person. Reminds me of Matt Martin in many ways. And the reality is that this is my humble opinion, the conservative alderman in the Chicago City Council did against Byron Sixto Lopez was really not aimed at Byron Sixto Lopez. It was aimed at Brandon Johnson, in my humble opinion. And so they were using this very contentious issue to embarrass the mayor and to further erode support from the mayor and make it that much more difficult and challenging for the mayor to reach out from his lefties base. And yes, base. I say base. Everybody has a base in the city of Chicago. Mainstream media only pretends that Brandon Johnson had a base, but Mayor Rahm and Mayor Daley had theirs as well, and so did Lori Lightfoot. And so they want to make it harder for him to reach beyond that base. And it's straight up tactic followed that whether they realize it or not, that they learned from Verdoliak and Burke with council wars. Always trying to inflame the situation, always trying to put Mayor Washington in a difficult predicament that will sort of make him try to appease one group against another group. The net intent, as I said, is to make it challenging for him to run citywide. And that's clearly what is going on with this game. Using Byron Sixto Lopez to get at Brandon Johnson. So I believe that's what's happening. And why I say I welcome this meeting is because it exposes the games. You can study it, you can learn from it and see what they're up to and listen to their rhetoric and dissect their rhetoric and say, oh yeah, this is the game that's being played. But as Maria Haddon points out, there is a detrimental fact to all this because it hardens opposition to Brandon Johnson and makes it that much more challenging and difficult for him to get through things like bring Chicago home, you know, that would help deal with our housing crisis. So I understand the downfalls to all this. As for Raylo, I'm going to just point out Raymond Lopez, alderman of the 15th Ward. A little history lesson here for you. The Democratic Convention of 1968, the tumultuous Democratic Convention of 1968, when police battled protesters, anti-war protesters, it was called a police riot, occurred in August of 1968. The riots that destroyed a good chunk of the West Side and took for years, the West Side is to recover, and in many cases it has not, took place in April of 1968 following the assassination of Martin Luther King. There were two distinct events.
Creativity. Let's just call it a creativity on Lopez's part.
Yeah, creativity.
Because I don't think that he doesn't know.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know if he knows it. He's a young man. I don't know if he's ever read any history.
Maybe.
I don't know if he was even born in 1968. So I don't know what he knows. I'm just telling folks out there, you go look it up if you don't believe me. So in April of 1968, there were the riots on the West Side following the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King. And in August 1968, there were police riots, they called them, outside the Hilton Hotel, in Grant Park, in Lincoln Park, against anti-war demonstrators, media people, anybody who happened to be in the area at the time. And in his mind, it's all combined together. So that's an important distinction to make. Listen, I didn't want the Democratic Convention coming to Chicago, Dave, this year. I didn't want it to come here for a whole host of reasons, beginning with the way the city, quote unquote, handled the migrant, quote unquote, crisis.
You have a flag you can burn?
But it's coming here. So really there's nothing I could do, but hope that
you could burn a flag.
Okay, I'm not going to burn a flag. That was a joke in Dave's way. I could burn a flag. By the way, we also had a guest on the show. You can hear it if you want. The ex-Marine, who did burn the flag. So covering this issue pretty clearly. But Raylo, come on. If you're going to get up there, get your facts right at least. All right? Just go read a book or something. And now one other point. I don't know what's next who you're going to cite, but to hear Raylo talk about integrity, this is a guy who learned this is one of the biggest allies Ed Burke had. Ed Burke, recently convicted of various federal bribery charges, you know, the guy who was shaking down people who were looking for TIF money. So that they try to force them to hire his property tax appeals firm. The guy who was chair of the finance committee for years and years and years had a property tax appeals firm, even though I have said all along that anybody could have done what Ed Burke did with property taxes, including Dave Gloatz, who's really good at property taxes. I just had to throw that in there, Dave. It's so funny. Like all of a sudden, Raylo is upholding the notion of integrity in the Chicago City Council after being an ally of Ed Burke. And by the way, didn't the City Council give Ed Burke a standing ovation?
So you're pronouncing guilt. I just want to point out you're pronouncing guilt on Lopez by association.
Well, you mean I'm doing to him what he did to Byron?
I'm saying you're not citing any specific examples.
I will cite a specific example. He's calling for aldermen to show their integrity by not associating with disreputable people, even though he has associated himself with Ed Burke all those years.
You are not giving specific examples of that association.
Other than, what do you mean? The fact that he was an ally of Ed Burke, that he spoke up on behalf of Ed Burke? Other than that, it's not specific enough for you?
Spoke on behalf of, well, let's go down this rabbit hole some other time. Just sort of point out if we were in court, you would have to, or if you were writing an article.
What are you suddenly in charge?
So let's strike that from the record.
Dave Gloatz.
Strike that from the record, Your Honor.
If we were
doing a journalistic article on this, an editor would not let you get away with just saying that he's an ally.
He's an ally of Ed Burke.
Ask you to give examples. Yeah.
That that he gave a speech on the floor of the council thanking Ed Burke for his wise leadership. Like, wow, that's a tough edit.
Many others who you would not call allies.
Yeah, I would say he's not the only one. I just got finished saying to hear all these aldermen who gave a standing ovation to Ed Burke talk about integrity when it applies to Alderman Sixto Lopez and giving a standing ovation to Ed Burke. I don't know, man.
My point only being only that you wouldn't necessarily call those other people allies of Burke just because they did that.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, it's a technicality. Let's move on.
Okay. Allow us to move on. We've each addressed this issue. It's up to the jury. Go ahead. I mean, I'm using your court metaphor.
Chris, please, we'll do brutal next. We'll hear a couple more aldermen. This clip starts with 38th Ward Alderman Nick Sposato. And after that, we'll hear from 36th Ward Alderman Gil Villegas. Let's listen.
Mr. President, I text you and Jason Lee and Tina. And my text to you was, this guy has got to go. At best, he's making the mayor and the city look bad. Didn't hear anything from anybody. Never called Byron. Maybe I should have. I don't know. Should I ask see what's going on? I, like everybody else, don't want to be here, but I felt it was a must. I think you know I support you. You and me are pretty different, and proudly so with you and proudly so for me. But I know we have a true and a deep respect for each other. So if it was up to you and me, we wouldn't be to a lot of points where we're at. I am the most right-leaning person in this council. I know you all think Anthony is, but believe me, it's me, okay? But I am jumping for joy that we have the DNC in our city. This means money in people's pockets. You know, people say they stand for the working man here. You don't want the DNC here. You know how this is going to help? The waiters, the waitresses, the cab drivers, the Uber drivers, the hotel people. It's just the economic boom that this is going to be for our city, for anybody, especially an elected official, to say they don't want it here and call our president Genocide Joe, no DNC, inciting violence at the DNC. That's unacceptable. So I don't know how somebody could be for the working man if they stand for that. One of our colleagues here, I won't mention his name, we all know who he is, made a big mistake about 5 years ago, sent a text to one of his trusted friends. And that individual has been brutalized for 5 years that he's been in office for. You talk about that guy can't go to his office without protesting. That guy can't have a fundraiser without protesting. That guy can't put something on Facebook without protesting. That man has been totally brutalized for the 5 years he's been in office. I don't condone anything like that. I just wanted to share with you that it's happened to me. I know it's happened to Anthony, certainly for some of us right-leaning people. I think I've proved myself to be a compassionate person. I feel there's three people in this council that really, really, really hate me, okay? And he's one of them, not dislike me, but hopefully we could move forward from here. Just like Carlos and me move forward, I think we're kind of buddies now. So hopefully Byron and me could move forward and he won't hate me anymore. Maybe he really doesn't, I don't know, we'll see. I just think he's one of the three that really hates me. Hope we can move forward, we could work together, start solving the real things. I really, really appreciate everybody's civility here. Whatever the outcome is, it was a good meeting. I know I'm not going to flip anybody. Nobody's going to flip anybody anyway, although I do think one person here was flipped today, but it certainly wasn't me. But once again, First Amendment rights, isn't it odd? People were expressing their First Amendment rights and they got thrown out of this meeting. We do have First Amendment right. We can't yell fire in this hall. We can't go to a movie theater and yell fire. And one of my black colleagues told me there's a certain word, an N-word, that you can't use and stuff like that. So yes, we do have First Amendment rights, but there's certain things that are unbecoming, especially of elected representative of the city, somebody that made you look bad, I think, Mr. President. And I stand for you and I stand with you.
The chair recognizes Alderman Villegas.
The group our colleague chose to stand with and legitimize calls for supporting people that have been convicted of espionage against America, a passage from their organization, the empire is the enemy, the belly of the beast, by any way we choose to resist. Please show your bruises on a DNC. Show that CPD is beating up the people that are coming here to protest. These are the words of extremists and it's dangerous. We cannot allow American politicians to legitimize these conspiracy movements to destroy democracy. People who promote hate and harm to our city have to be called out, and the situation has to be addressed to ensure safety for our residents and visitors. Ladies and gentlemen, these extreme groups are a clear and present danger to society. Legitimizing the extremism by a leader in this body is dangerous and sends the wrong message to our residents. That's why we are asking for accountability. If we do nothing, then we are accepting that our colleagues' extremism and promotion of extreme groups that want to bring harm to our city and endanger our communities and visitors during the DNC. The extreme left is no different than the extreme right. Now, Mr. President, we had a meeting. I thought it was going to play out differently. I thought we were going to have an apology and then we'd move forward. But we saw that being divisive is exactly what some of our colleagues want. It's an unfortunate because we do have a lot of things to deal with. And I would ask all my colleagues to join me as I have two ordinances, one that deals with veterans' preference and also veteran housing, allowing 10% of ARO to go to veterans. That is the population that's always talked about when we talk about homelessness. Well, put your money where your mouth is. Let's call that ordinance in housing and let's pass it 50-0.
So Alderman Cesano also gave us a riddle talking about, quote, that man who has been totally brutalized for the 5 years he's been in office, unquote. And I'm sure you can guess who he's talking about.
Yes, he is talking about Fifth Ward Alderman Jim Gardner.
I agree.
And I mean, where do you begin to unpack that one? So I don't believe that Jim Gardner, again, like these false equivalencies, you know, Jim Gardner did some pretty crummy things, to put it mildly, with texts that he sent. And we've talked about him on the show. We've had guests on the show who were the recipients who were sort of targeted in those texts. And misogynistic text. And so I believe it was a legitimate, you talk about a lack of integrity by a political official, by an alderman, that is worthy of censure. Now, I would think that what he did falls into that category. And by the way, he was reelected. So I don't know how much, ultimately, the people of his ward forgave him, Dave. And he's still on the city council.
Forgiveness is a theme today.
Yeah, forgiveness. He was forgiven by the people of his ward in the 45th ward. And interestingly enough, in both the ceasefire resolution debate and the debate over Alderwoman Silverstein's resolution supporting Israel, he spoke up on behalf of Palestinian rights. I mean, so many lefties have said to me on the mic and off the mic how surprised they were that one of the most outspoken supporters of Palestinian rights was Jim Gardner of the 45th Ward. And then, oh my God, this shows the perversity and the weirdness of Chicago politics. So he's speaking up for Palestinian rights. And, you know, I applaud some of the things he said. In both the ceasefire debate and the particularly in the first debate over Deborah Silverstein's resolution. But then, of course, he voted against the mayor's initiative to close certain as of yet unspecified TIF districts and use the money to help the poor. So, oh, Lord, I guess the further we get away from the city of Chicago, there's a tendency for me to agree with something that Jim Gardner says. But yes, that was the person that he quizzed. I got to tell you, I found this, Dave, I found some of the stuff that Spazzato said convincing. And, you know, Nick Spazzato, I've known him for a long time. His accent is so original. Pat Whalen comes on the show, does a great Nick Spazzato imitation. And by the way, Dave Gloatz, before we went on the air, showed off his Nick Spazzato imitation.
I will restrain myself.
Okay.
If you'll forgive me.
I forgive you. That seems to be the theme. I will forgive you for restraining yourself. But, my lefty friends are getting mad at me. When he went on that riff about what the convention will do for the city of Chicago for getting people jobs, putting money in people's pockets.
The
waitresses and the cab drivers and the Uber drivers.
Money in their pockets.
Wait a minute. I thought you were going to restrain. You were going to restrain yourself. Can't help it, ladies and gentlemen. So I find it kind of moving, Nick. And then, like, whenever I want to criticize Nick, whenever he says something really, what I just think is outrageous, I remembered a good Oh my God, I started talking like him. I remember the good things he does. He stood with the teachers in 2012 on their strike. I just, folks should remember that. I always feel compelled to say that. He stood with the teachers. He was there with Karen Lewis. I remember him at the rally at the Daily Center. So, I don't know. He's
a complex person. You know, it's easy to paint him as a caricature. Partly because he's got such a great Chicago accent. And he paints himself as the most right-leaning alderman in the city council. And he invokes Anthony Napolitano as perhaps
seen
that way. Yeah.
Nick Sposato and I suffer from the same brain tendency. Like, our brains go into tangents. And we can't help ourselves. We go down those roads. So I like that thing about I'm the most right leaning person in the city council. Some people say it's Anthony, you know, like a tangent. I can't help myself, Nick. I understand that. I understand that impulse. I try to control myself.
What listeners so would know, who were the three people that he believes hate him?
Wow. Now you're asking me to go in the mind of Nick Sposato.
It sounds like he was saying that Sixto Lopez was one of them and might not be after this because he said they found mutual respect. So that leaves two. But
I would guess.
Go ahead.
Should I guess or not guess? I would say he's talking about Carlos Rosana and Byron. Carlos Ramirez Rosa, alderman of the 35th ward, Rosana Rodriguez, alderwoman of the 33rd ward, and Byron Sixto Lopez of the 25th. That would be my guess, Dave. What do you think about my guess?
I thought he said somewhere in there, somewhere in the past year or two. I would be completely.
And now he's
holding my tongue on this one.
With them, because he says he made up with Carlos. So I don't know. It's a pure guess. Like I said, he was on a riff, and I'll put it to you.
I want to go back to your point about. a block of aldermen whose main goal is to damage the mayor.
Yes.
And, you know, I want to think about that a little bit. And I'm reminded, what puts me in that mind is the remarks by Villegas, which sounded pretty polished as opposed to, I don't know what to say, from the heart. And obviously not all of the 15 aldermen who sponsored the resolution to strip Sixto Lopez of his chairmanship voted in favor of it. So Taliaferro peeled off, after the mayor's Easter Sunday conference with him and a couple of the others. But I'm curious as to who, and I know the answer to this question. I'm just thinking out loud. I'm just curious who would, if there is a block who, before filing this resolution, came together and said, hey, this would really work to undermine Brandon Johnson. Let's do it. Which of those 15 would be on that list? And I don't, so because Taliaferro peeled off, he wouldn't be, obviously, I think. But that's just a really interesting question to me.
Yeah, no, I have a sense, but since we're going to, We'll hold back on that one for another show. That could be a whole show. I think there's probably can name at least five.
I can tell you that 11 appeared at the press conference before the resolution was filed. So
I think there's a couple things going on here. And one thing I didn't talk about, I talked about this with Byron when he was on the show. And David Moore's comments. So David Moore, the alderman of the 17th ward, was on at the protest rally where Byron spoke. As I said, he just walked out and saw it, observed it out of curiosity.
And the other places to be.
Yeah, the other places to be. So I don't believe, I look, for instance, I don't believe there would have been in a drive. Well, he doesn't have a chairmanship. I don't think David Moore has a chairmanship, so you can't strip him of it. But there would be no drive to like punish him or censor him if he had been at that rally as a participant or as a supporter. So I do believe this was very targeted. And I feel as though, Dave, having listened to these clips, that different aldermen come to it from different positions. And so the driving force, I think, is to embarrass Mayor Johnson. And there's some aldermen who are driven by that as their motive. And then there are some other aldermen who are genuinely upset at a flag being burned. And then there are some aldermen who just really dislike Byron Sisler Lopez. And so you add those things together, and we end up with the movement to strip him of his chairmanship and this hearing. So that's my sense.
That's how movements are made. You form coalitions.
That's very good. Good point.
Yeah, I'm invoking Chomsky. You know? One more point before we leave this. One of the things that Alderman Villegas said at the end, he talked about that he has proposed an ordinance to give veterans preference in housing. And he said, how about we call that in the housing committee, which is chaired, of course, by Alderman Sancho Lopez, so implying that it has not been called. Well, that ordinance, which is SO2023-0002888, passed 9 days later in the housing committee and was approved by the council on April 17th. So Alderman Villegas got something he wanted.
Yeah, there we go. Something good came out of this, all right, that we can probably all agree on.
Well, that's all I've got. Listeners, Ben and I had a longer discussion on a couple other items not covered here. If you'd like to hear that, please go to the extended version of this interview found at the Inside Chicago Government website, shygov.com. There you can go to the Chicago menu and choose City Council. Ben, thanks again to you, and thanks to Chris.
Thank you, Dave, and welcome back, Cotter. Hope to hear your lovely voice in a show next month. We're going to get you back on a schedule if we can. So that's a great deal.
Mr. Bike allows it.
Mr. Bike allows it. All right, that's Dave Glowatz. I also want to thank producer Chris. He does an outstanding job, and I think Dave Glowatz, Nick Spazzato, and Raylo would all agree. Hey, producer Chris, give yourself a raise. Take it out of petty cash. Peace and love, everybody.
And remember previous Ben Jarofsky shows, Benny J bonus interviews, columns from the man himself, and even sign up for the Chicago Reader newsletter. It's all available at chicagoreader.com. You can follow Ben on Instagram at Benny J Show. And don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow the Ben Jarofsky Show on your favorite streaming and podcasting platforms.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.